Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz, it is Moose, it is CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. 5-year anniversary, Taz, of the Youngstown Boys, which was a great 30 for 30 on ESPN.
It was awesome. Yeah.
30 for 30 is just a tremendous production. They
really
do fantastic stories, even their smaller ones that they put up digitally online.
Yep.
And Maurice Claret joins us now, former Ohio State star running back. He's got a fascinating story, the ups and downs and the battle back. Hey, Maurice, Taz and Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me.
You got it, Maurice. Talk a little bit about the 5-year anniversary of the Youngstown Boys. You know, tell us in terms of where you are right now and exactly the message you're trying to get across to everyone.
Well, since the film come out, a bunch has happened in my life. I probably wouldn't speak to probably over about probably 400 different cities. All over the country, just sharing my journey and my story with people about, just different points of the movie that they had seen and, had more questions about and information that may have been relevant to just helping to give perspective to either young men or women or staff members who are dealing with young people who are in my situation. From there, I was able to get into some mental health and drug and alcohol work, which is what I do now. I own a behavioral health agency, and we work with people who have different mental health issues. Obviously, as well, noted that I take mental health medication and have had problems in the past with recovery issues and concurrently in recovery. And so, bringing therapeutic services, mental health awareness, and recovery services to the forefront, explaining it to guys and really letting guys know where therapy can kind of benefit them in their lives. From a mental health perspective and continuing that work as I move forward. And I'm just happy and peaceful overall. I'm enjoying life.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Sounds great. Hey, so let me ask you, I'm the dad, of a college athlete, right? So what are, the biggest hurdles right now facing college athletes?
Ooh, that we can have an hour-long conversation about that. if I had to say just one or two, I think the biggest thing or the biggest misconception is that athletes are given the opportunity to get a real education, and I think that is one of the biggest jokes. Being when you have star athletes who come from inner city programs or selling school districts. A lot of these guys aren't academically equipped to take the classes that are offered on a campus, at a university. And we statistically know that only 2% will go. But we all have this fictitious belief as athletes that, we will all go. And so what's happened on these campuses is that they purposely miseducate these guys for the purpose of staying eligible. And, you get classes like, African-American studies and, family planning and officiating golf and officiating softball and all of these things that they keep you eligible to generate revenue. But when it's time for you to be done and it's time for you to go back to your hometown, you don't have anything of value to bring back to either the kids, your community, or even to your family. And a lot of times what happens is that subsequently ends in some sort of substance abuse or some sort of alcohol abuse because you just can't mentally adjust to your life being turned upside down. And I can just look at old teammates from Ohio State. I can look at guys who reach out to me through the internet. And guys, what they feel like is that they put so much into something and there's this fictitious belief that they'll always be taken care of. But the underlying narrative is that, you have very smart people who get together, student-athlete support services, and what they do is they say, hey, we're going to make these guys believe that they're getting over on the system by taking these classes that really don't get them anything in the long run.
Right, yep.
And what ends up happening is that these guys are miseducated. And I care more about that than anything. All of the paying athletes, that's really a simple thing. If guys just stop playing and set down, the ESPN, NCAA will get real smart, you know, and they'll figure out how to work out a deal. That's relatively simple, but nobody can collectively get guys to come together. But the biggest part is just the miseducation and the byproduct of all the things that take place personally, where guys, you know, you're experiencing grief, you're experiencing depression, you're experiencing stress. And typically and historically and statistically, for just young black athletes or poor white kids or Hispanic kids who aren't traditionally, in an environment where mental health services, when you're talking about adjusting, when you're talking about, moving forward with life or processing emotion or guys even having the skills to do this, when these things aren't, readily available to people or they aren't used to engaging and stuff like that, you know, you have a lot of young people lost. You know, I just seen a young kid who went to USC. You know, they said the kid was walking up and down the freeway and he ended up getting hit by a car or something, but he had, you know, severe mental illnesses. So you take life and then you take the contact portion of trauma and you mix that stuff up. And there's a lot of other stories of guys who are just lost, but they're not well documented as mine as it may have been in the past.
You know, and I think that's all well said right there, man. And you can speak on this. Like, I'm sure you've played with a bunch of guys at Ohio State that everybody thought they were going to go to the NFL and make millions of dollars. And that's why you need that academic. You need real academics because not everybody goes to the NFL. It's not a foregone conclusion because you're a stud in the Big Ten and you're on TV all the time. And I'm sure you know plenty of guys like that that didn't even get that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you can say even the 98% who does go, or you can just give statistics and those who do go, your life career span is 3 years, and the biggest thing is that if I could say one thing that changed my life, it was going to prison and learning how to educate myself and learning that ambition that I had on the football field was still the same ambition that I had in my body even when the football field left. But I just never took the time to concentrate on anything academically because I didn't picture myself building a life. And so, you know, if these guys are to generate revenue and to make people's millions of dollars, at least if we know that this guy will be a father or the most notable person from a community or somebody of prominence, I think we owe it to these guys to say, hey, you know, these kids have to come on these campuses to take these classes to stay eligible. But what we can do is to bring these guys to grade level from a reading standpoint. You know, we can pair these guys with somebody who may be a small business owner from an alumni standpoint and get these guys some real internship hours or get them a real connection to somebody who may be able to pull these guys up after they're done playing football or just create an academic system that brings them up to where they're at. But, you know, if you put me 4 years into, you know, BS 101, and I apologize if I can't say that, you know, I apologize, but when you take these nonsense classes,
right.
Yeah, when you take these nonsense classes, it does nothing, you know. And I always talk about this, you know, I was down in LSU, and this is when Leonard Fournette was down there, and I asked Les Miles, you know, because I understand, you know, I learned in prison, they would always say this, you can't unsee and you can't unhear. And I asked Les Miles, I said, you know, Les, would you put your kids, your personal kids, in the same classes that you put your star athletes in?
Wow, what a question. That's some question,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the look on his face was dumbfounded. And even though, you know, I said it, you know, he couldn't kick me off the stage because he's like, yo, like, what am I going to kick this kid off the stage for telling me the truth?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then it makes the athletes ask themselves. And I say, go to your position, coach, and go show them your schedule and ask them what they pay for their kids to go take these classes. And the absolute emphatical no will come out their eyes. They don't have to say nothing. You know what I'm saying? And what ends up happening is that will tell you right there, this does nothing. This keeps you eligible. But we have to get into a space before we start to talk about all this pain and all this other stuff. Like, at least let's get the normal thing down. Let's get the educational piece down. And if we are to say that these guys can't take these courses, like, you know, just think about this. Ohio State, you have to have a 31 to enter as a freshman, right? If you come from a failing school district or if you don't perform well academically, there's nothing on our university campus that you can take. We don't even set up for 17s, 18s, and 19s. We're just not set up for that. And so you have to ask yourself, what am I really taking, or what are they pushing me to in order for me to graduate? And when you have, you know, first-generation college kids and you don't have the families who have traditionally gone through academic systems to understand the benefits or to give the questions to coaches, you know, for this stuff, you know, then you have a problem because they don't know how you're not being supported. They don't know that the classes you're not taking, you know, all mommy and daddy and uncle know is that my kid has a degree from whatever university and he's made it out the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? But that's not,
right.
You know, that's not enough. You know what I mean? That's not enough. We have to get to the point where we're appropriately academically educating these kids and pushing on these kids to be something more than just athletes.
We're talking to Maurice Claret, former Ohio State star running back, the founder of the Red Zone. Maurice, what, you know, cutting through to the millennial athlete who are going to say, that's not going to happen to me, that's not me, what's the biggest lesson? I know education, obviously, making sure that you go to the right classes, that have your future after football, after you're a Division I athlete, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but what's the biggest thing that you want the modern athlete, the young college athlete, to take away from your life experiences?
If I could say anything, man, it would have to be the mental health portion of it. And I didn't realize that, you know, I was, you know, coming from, you know, where I come from and seeing, you know, so much, I would say violence as a young age, right? Seeing, you know, murders. I've probably seen 3 murders with my own eyes, you know, just from guys in our neighborhood killing each other, you know, before the age of, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, seeing domestic violence and just seeing all this confusion and knowing a lot of guys who do play college sports to realize that that's not normal in some form or fashion. That trauma or those mental experiences have an effect on your behavior or just how you experience the world. And you know, you watch these documentaries, these sports documentaries put on by any network, and oftentimes we're talking about, you know, kids who come up from horrific upbringings and you see violence and crime and all this other stuff. And really, that's nothing more than trauma and so many other things from a mental health standpoint, that if you don't get those things treated or if you don't get those things dealt with, when the sport that you're playing, either basketball or football, when that thing or that vehicle that gives you a release from what it is that you're experiencing, when that thing is gone, those problems still exist. And what I didn't realize was that, you know, be it that I was like, I actually made it, but I didn't make it, you know, and be it that I was like, kind of like one of those 98% of guys who didn't make it, I had all of that stuff internally going on inside of me. And I know when I go around to a lot of these campuses, you know, a lot of these kids are like, you know, I got to make it for moms, I got to make it for dad, I got to get us out the hood.
Right.
You know, I have to make it. And, you know, I've been to probably 80 universities, and I can statistically say, you know, that I understand that this is a lot of kids' narrative, and when they don't make it, this is the stuff that they're dealing with. And I wish that, you know, what could be learned is that when they had this these either sports psychologists or social services available for me, I wish that I would have sat down a little bit earlier and either, because I take mental health medication now, and I think that that's really the medication and the ongoing therapy. I think that those two things have had a huge impact on my life. And, you know, a lot of stuff that I end up dealing with or sitting down with and learning where a lot of my anger or a lack of understanding how to cope with what was going on, I learned a lot of that stuff was untreated coming up in football or sports in some capacity had been a vehicle. So if I could say anything, man, it was I wish that I would have had included, or I could teach young guys how to include some proactive mental health steps to keep them well mentally. And I always compare it like this, you know, from a athletic standpoint, you know, if we want to get an athlete faster, you know, and or bigger or stronger, you know, there's 1,000 different machines and a bunch of resources dumped into that. But your body has a timetable or when you can use it. But we use our minds, and there's no practical or accessible information to get your mind in shape or to get your mind well. You know, saying, so we always say, hey, get some rest, or, you know, some people say, hey, you know, read a book, or there's some vague things. But I try to implement just, you know, daily disciplines, or try to create like just sort of conditioning mechanisms to strengthen my mentality, my mind, or my perspective. And I wish I would have had that on the front side of my life, where I can teach young people how to do that.
Well, speaking on that, so how is the Red Zone raising awareness, Maurice, for increased emotional and mental support for not only college athletes, but all kids, all youth?
Just a bunch of ways. Just me going out and talking. You know, I'm a one-man band at this point, and we're trying to get we're trying to, and I was talking to a professor last night, and somebody who's he's a clinical expert, you know, but we were talking about, he's a lot more savvy with technology now. We're talking about how do you bring this thing digitally, and then how do you, obviously, how are you able to get this message to people a bit faster and to be spoken and broken down in a way where they can understand it. And I guess in this day and age, we have to try to leverage technology and to build the message on the platform. But some of the best moments I have is going out and sharing my experience, but then, you know, answering questions or giving examples of why this stuff works and how it works and the way I feel from feeling mentally and emotionally well, and, you know, how much weight that I have off my back and things that I do to kind of keep me fit, you know, moving forward. But, you know, I do a bunch of it. I go out and I talk and I give experience, and I think that is probably the most impactful way. And I'm hoping that in a way we can try to use technology to provide a personal platform
for sure
to go about it. But, you know, it, coming up over the next I want to say, I don't know when we'll, you know, when we'll launch some material on it, but I told my guy that I was committed to going back to 400 universities, and I'll beat the curb up, and I'll, you know, beat every radio station up, and I'll try to get in front of people to talk about this stuff, because I think that, you know, this information is relevant. You know, you look at America and you look at our drug problem, you know, from all walks of life. You know, that's drugs, people use that to substitute or alter their mood, because obviously they're going through something that they don't want to experience, you know, sober or without, under the condition of an influence. And, you know, when you're happy with life, you're not, you know, looking to get messed up all day. You're not looking to get up and get high. You know, and that's just a fact of life. And, you know, hopefully, you know, once we put this team together and put together a plan, that I'll be, you know, knocking on doors and radio stations and universities and high schools and just sharing what I've experienced. But, like, none of the stuff makes me happy. I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy just sharing a message.
Well, it is a great message to deliver, Maurice. Final one from us, and that is for you personally. When did it hit you? You know, when was getting your life back in order, delivering the message? You know, was prison the stage? When did it hit you, Maurice? Where you had this, where everything started to change for you in life?
Well, I mean, prison was a starting point because, you know, like your life is flipped upside down. But then even going as an adult, because what happens is, and people don't realize this, you live and you get to prison, and then you start to learn a bunch of new information in prison, but you don't realize that it works until you get out, right? So you acquire all this information, all of this new knowledge, then you get out, then you start to apply stuff, and some works, some doesn't. You go through life, it kind of hits you, and you go up and you go down. But then, you know, after I begin to tell my story and travel around the country and see, I'm just like speaking from a truthful space, how many times that or how much stuff people actually gravitated to without being Maurice Clarett, just about being stressed and depressed and just not knowing how to deal with life and some of life's circumstances and how things pull on you and beat you up and you just don't really know how to navigate them. You know, it just kind of made me really enjoy speaking from a truthful place and connecting to people. But the start of, you know, just me learning how to read and me enjoying reading, that stuff came directly from prison. But I'm still going through it. You know, I'm not going through it. I still learn and educate myself and I still want to continue to get better and learn and try to get better at doing what we're doing now.
Well, Maurice, listen, if you're ever in New York City, we'd love to have you in studio. And, you know, continued success. You're changing people's lives. We wish you
passion,
all the best.
Your passion, too.
No question
just
about
jumps
it.
Out, man. Really does.
It really does. And we appreciate the time this morning, Maurice.
Thank you.
All right, thank you all.
Thanks,
you got
man.
It. Maurice Clarett, founder of the Red Zone, former Ohio State star running back, and you know, if you're a younger listener to our audience, Taz, you don't remember Maurice Clarett, number 13.
He could run the ball.
He was a great, great running back for Ohio State. Part of that national championship team that upset Miami Yeah, I believe that was in Arizona.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and that was Jim Tressel led Ohio State team, and they pulled off the upset.
Sweater vest Jones.
No doubt. That was the same game that McGahee suffered that gruesome knee injury.
The knee injury. I remember that.
It was a grotesque
That was in the red zone. Speaking of red zone, I remember that.
It was an awful
knee
injury.
That was horrible.
But hop online. Check out his Twitter handle, Maurice Claret, and also the founder of the Red Zone. Doing great work trying to educate make people and bring awareness to mental health. Fantastic job. Great spot there with Maurice Claret. We'll come back. We've got the three for you. It's a Thursday edition. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you, of course, by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
It was a little issue. I just realized I had to do some deep search, and some people, family members, got me my birth certificate. And for those that are just joining us here, it is my birthday today, which I don't really give a rat's ass about, but people around here, I work with good men, and they are happy it's my birthday. My broadcast colleague, my co-host.
Wish you warm wishes on your birthday.
Said happy 51st birthday. I am not 51. I was actually born, I thought I was born in 67. I was born in 77. So there was an era on the birth certificate. So my age is not 51.
Happy 51st birthday.
I'm just telling you what the birth certificate said, bro. I don't remember back that
long. Hashtag we over. Nice work, Popeye Jones.
Just telling you. They sent me the birth certificate, and it says 77.
On Twitter?
On Twitter, yeah. It's all credible there.
They DM you?
Yeah, they DM me. It's all credible. Lee means working up a little.
Really, the birthday we should be celebrating, your mom's birthday today.
Happy birthday to your mom. And we will not share her age, but yes.
No, that's it.
Yeah, she's probably in the casino still. She usually goes to the casino at night. She stays all the way to the morning and, just smokes tons of cigarettes and just drinks tons of coffee at the nickel slots.
However way you want to celebrate your birthday.
You know, my father was at OTB. My mother was with the slots. That was my upbringing.
Does she have the frequent gambler card, like, pinned to her shirt into the machine?
Absolutely.
Okay,
the thing is, my mother, though, like, if she heard me say that, I don't know, sometimes you listen to us, but she heard me say that, she'd crack up. She has, like, her sense of humor. She does not take herself serious. So, like, I'm very fortunate with that. My mom, she'll joke around all day.
Yeah.
So. She'd be pissed because it's not nickel slots, it's quarter slots. So.
I thought you were going to say penny slots.
She's a lady. It's quarter slots.
What's up, baby?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Taz, happy birthday. This report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. It's Taz's birthday. And there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. For the first time since January 13th, Kawhi Leonard on an NBA court last night. Pure joy as he donned a Raptors uniform.
Listen, sorry. I saw this, that laugh gimmick, when he did that. I finally saw the video of him actually getting interviewed when he left.
The video's worse.
It is worse. It's complete. Did you see it, Moose?
When
you watch it.
Yeah, I did see the video.
Dude, it's really weird.
It is strange.
It's unnerving.
You're right.
Looks
right
like a ventriloquist had his hand in his back. It was weird.
Getting the shivers right now.
Good morning.
Leonard, 11 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists in a 118-91 defeat of the Nets in Montreal.
Just seeing what we're really going to do on the floor, play calls, also another NBA team that's been scouting you. So, just things like this is just going to keep getting us better.
New teammate Kyle Lowry didn't see the end of this game, ejected for arguing with the officials. Kevin Durant fouled out in the third quarter of the Warriors' 123-113 loss to the Lakers in Vegas. Lonzo Ball made his preseason debut after July knee surgery. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 assists in 23 minutes off the bench. And how about a little drama in Atlanta?
Atlanta brings it up. Hawks don't have a timeout. 7-6, looking to win it here. Trae Young from the G at Georgia Tech. Done! Oh my goodness!
Trae Young a 30-foot game-winning heave with Bang. 2 seconds left, as heard on Fox Sports Southeast. His Hawks 130, the Spurs 127. Week 6 in the NFL kicks off in Jersey with the Giants hosting the Eagles tonight. Big Blues 1-4, Phillies 2-3, both looking up at first place Washington, who's a robust 2-2. Former Giants offensive tackle Eric Flowers, now a free agent, clearing waivers yesterday. He's expected to visit the Jaguars today. The Red Sox will start the ALCS the same way they began the Division Series, which, by the way, they beat the Yankees in. Chris Sale, David Ortiz start Saturday and Sunday against the Astros
That's
in Boston.
Not right. That's not right.
Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole counter for Houston. A rare October trade yesterday with Miami shipping reliever Kyle Bearclaw to the Nats for international signing money. The Marlins would like to use that money on Cuban outfielder Victor Mesa.
Hold on a second. Victor Mesa.
Victor Mesa.
VVM.
No hyphens, no commas.
Victor Mesa.
Victor.
VVM City. That's his name. That's VVM. So Victor Mason.
Mesa.
Mason.
Yeah.
There's a vowel at the end.
Yes.
Like Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah, like I believe that means table in Spanish.
Does it really? I thought it meant table leg.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And on the ice last night, the Arizona Coyotes got their first win of the season, 3-2 in Anaheim after a shootout. They get that first W in Game 3 after starting last season 0-11. Guys, happy birthday.
Pete All just right. goes to me, wouldn't that be, just say it, Pete, what you just said to me.
Wouldn't that be Victor City Mesa, just for clarity?
Instead of Victor, what did I say it was? Mesa City, Mesa, Victor City, No, that means move on.
Happy
Good morning.
Birthday, Taz.
All right, let's get to the three.
Three, we got to do the undercard.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Jimmy Butler has heated practice with teammates.
Yeah, getting all fired up. Ah. Did a one-on-one interview with Rachel Nichols on ESPN as well. Calling out his general manager, saying he can't blink and win without me. Basically took all the his teammates in Minnesota behind the woodshed, said that it could be repaired, but has not been repaired at this point in time. Requested a trade a number of weeks ago from Minnesota. That trade is not happening. Tom Thibodeau is a coach looking at a situation this year where he's got to win or he might be out in Minnesota. He can't conceivably try and win without Jimmy Butler being a part of it. You know, Taz, you and I, we had a great conversation earlier on discussing leadership qualities, good leader, bad leader, what Butler is. And you can check out the podcastradio.com and Apple Podcast. And a little bit of a tidbit of that convo from earlier on is that you look at Butler, maybe I get leadership by example. Maybe he's not getting through to these guys. Maybe he has to try a different style and fashion. But as you pointed out, maybe it's just not up to Jimmy Butler. Maybe right. You're asking a little bit too much of a player. Maybe that falling on the coaching staff. He's going to try and lead by example. Whatever it is, it ain't working. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing with him cursing out teammates at practice and then talking about it afterward as well, where not everything is kept in-house.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we both can agree that there's going to be intense practices at any level, especially at the pro level and a sport like basketball. And, you know, at one point, Butler, he was defending, he was guarding Towns, and he basically screamed out, "He can't do S against me." You know what I mean? Like that's a little bit... I'm all about intensity. I love when teammates get fiery. I have no problem when you see pull-aparts where it's almost a fist fight of practice. I get that. But when you get that heavy and you hit someone's face, it's a little too much. But I do think that, he's just... That Butler just feels like everyone should play as hard as me. Everyone should go as hard as me. Everyone should have a chip on the shoulder as hard as me. Everyone should be as disgruntled and angry as me, which I respect all of those things about the guy. I do. But not everyone's like that. And that's the point you were making earlier. You know, everyone's different. I you know what? Him, Wiggins, and Cat, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, he's just not going to get along with those two guys. So if he stays on the Timberwolves, Jimmy Butler, I don't know how this is going to work. I mean, unless they have a team meeting and work it out. I don't know.
Or they pay him.
You think he'll calm down?
Maybe.
Be nice. I saw $60 million.
I'll give him credit because
I love Cat.
I saw Stan Van Gundy do an interview, and he basically said, "Listen, if you read the tea leaves, I think this is about money." I think if you pay Jimmy Butler, I think things will be A-OK in Minnesota. So
I saw Van Gundy.
Yeah. Stan?
Yeah, Stan.
Okay. Or Jeff?
Stan, the heavy one.
Okay.
I saw him on the NBA show yesterday on TV. Mm-hmm. He had no tie on. He was dressed in business cash, as we call it.
Correct.
In the business. He looked like a chubby lounge singer. I had to look for a second. Well, is that the Van Gundy? He looked different. He looked like someone he was singing in Vegas, like singing like an old song from the 80s. I just wanted to point that out, eating wings during a break.
I saw him doing a satellite interview, and he was not wearing a tie.
He's got to wear a tie.
No, there was no tie.
Yeah, he looks a little sloppy.
He did look sloppy?
Yeah, he looked a little chunky and sloppy. He's good, though. He's good on TV. But anyway, I wanted to share that. He looked like a lounge singer.
Well, it's either he looks like a lounge singer or he looks like Ron Jeremy.
I didn't want to go
one
that
of the
route.
Two.
I wanted to go high road.
But I
gotcha.
Understand. But
I can't
argue
with that part.
But that's been the two things.
You look at the tie.
I don't doubt you. I saw him in a satellite interview yesterday. He was not wearing a tie, so he was probably wearing the same outfit.
It's like a gray sports jacket?
I saw, yes. Blue shirt?
Yeah.
I watched that also.
You saw it too, right?
Yeah, I thought he looked good.
Oh, well, Mike, there you go. All right, next.
Number two.
Need to know about for a second.
Chris Bryant turned down a huge multi-year deal.
Mike, don't talk over
the video. Chris Bryant, Chicago Cubs, as Bisegli was talking over it. The Cubs, Bryant, and his agent, Scott Boras, have had multiple conversations over the past number of months trying to work out a contract extension. Now, he's under control with the Chicago Cubs until 2021 or through 2021. So they've got a little bit of time on their hands, but Bryant reportedly has turned down a north of $200 million contract extension.
It's crazy.
That's a lot of money.
It's crazy. It's a lot of money.
He's 25, he's going to be 26 years of age, I think, in January.
Yeah, and, we talked a lot about this earlier, and again, download the podcast if you want it at radio.com. It was a really good conversation. Look, if you're declining a $200 million extension, you obviously, and Moose, you laid this out perfectly. You know, he's looking to maybe get paid deeper, go into the $400 million club.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's a legit player and all that stuff. And as long as he can stay healthy, he probably will do this with the Cubbies. Somebody, whatever. But, he did this past summer, as we were talking about this. He was a little banged up. He was on the DL for a while. So hopefully he can, stay healthy. Because if you don't stay healthy, that money won't be there for him. These owners are not going to pay that kind of money if you're not. So it's a long, grueling season. You got to stay healthy. I think he should have took that extension. I think it's a little nuts to pass that up. Was he 26, you said?
Going to be 26.
So he's 25 years old. He's still
correct.
Very young, obviously.
Or he's 26, going to be 27. Anyway, okay, mid-20s doesn't matter.
Yeah, still young, right. So, I don't know, man. I would have took the money because you never know. One play, a turn,
never know what's
turn
around
first
the corner,
base, you blow your knee out.
But, Daz, as we discussed, you guys don't think like that.
No.
They don't. They think everything's going to be A-OK. Not going to happen to them. The significant injury is not going to happen to them. And I will say he's got an agent that's not going to give the Cubs any kind of a discount.
Boris
is not. Boris is going to look at it and say, okay, that's nice. But where's his value at realistically in the MLB marketplace, former NL MVP 2016, when he's set to hit free agency? Mm. And it's a lot more than you're offering now.
Now
the Cubs are looking at it saying, well, we're going to give you security. Mm. So you've got to give us a little bit, maybe 80 cents on the dollar, 75 cents on the dollar, because we're going to give you some security long term. We you don't have to worry about getting hurt. You're going to get all the money that's coming your way. You can't expect us to play dollar for dollar and give you a contract extension of what he will be worth years down the line based on the fact of if we're going to play ball with you, you've got to play ball with us. We're not going to go dollar for dollar. We're not going to tell you, okay, in 3 years he's going to be worth this. We're going to pay you what he's worth that in this contract extension. The Cubs are going to say, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, he earned a record for the first year arbitration eligible player, $10.8 million in 2018. I'm reading this right now. Wow, Jesus, guys,
he's money.
Taking a lot of money.
He's making a lot of money.
He's a real deal. I know.
And he's gonna make a lot of money.
Yeah, and he should. He's talented, but $400 million if he gets to that club. Whew, God bless him.
Well, who knows? And he's coming off a year, Taz, you mentioned earlier, banged up.
Yeah, he's banged
up. Had a shoulder injury.
Yep. How many games he played?
102.
102 games he played.
That's all he played this year. Did not play, but. He's a really and had a down year offensively, so didn't have a great year offensively.
Nobody was talking about him.
No,
he was not a
really
talking
was not.
Point. No, he
no,
wasn't.
Really was not.
number three.
Eagles versus Giants in NFC East clash.
There we go.
Tonight, MetLife Stadium, Meadowlands, and obviously not every one of our listening audiences. We're on Sirius and XM 206 app as well.
Yes.
Our affiliates across the country that pick up the show each and every day, and we thank them, are located in the Northeast. So, but tonight in the Northeast, there's expected to be a lot of rain. A lot of rain today, upwards of 1 to 2 inches of rain. So,
I should have flew in today.
100% chance of rain tonight when this game is set to kick off out at MetLife Stadium in Jersey, Taz.
Yeah.
So that'll factor in. An Eagle team that's 2-3, now looking for a solution at running back. Some rumors maybe about LeSean McCoy. The Giants are dealing with the drama of Odell Beckham Jr. They're 1-4. Giants, if they are to make themselves in a bad NFC somewhat relevant, they've got to win tonight, and the Eagles are looking to get back to the 500 mark. I think the Eagles are a better football team at this stage. I know week to week in the NFL, right, parity is the word. You never know what the hell's around the corner. I mean, obviously, the Bills have won a couple games this year.
And no one thought that
amazingly
would happen, including
enough,
me.
No, right, Bills fan. Exactly. So you never know, and the Giants are home, but I do think from what we've witnessed here through 5 weeks, I think the Eagles are the better team. If I were to make a pick on tonight's game, I'd go Philadelphia's way.
What's the line, sir, on this?
Eagles minus -3.
Okay. So, home dog Jones, we're talking here.
Correct.
Yes. Giants are home dog.
Yes.
Listen, here's the deal. The Giants, I think, are going to win the game. I think with the rain, I think with the run game, if that offensive line, you pointed out earlier, the offensive line's been doing kind of poopy. So, but I think maybe they'll step it up.
They got rid of Eric Flowers, a first-round bust earlier this week.
The Jaguars might take him on. I mean, he's going to meet the Jaguars today. I mean, I'm surprised teams were on him already.
And you want to know a side story to that?
I don't understand.
How about this? Flowers, when he was drafted by the Giants, I think it's Pat Flaherty, was the offensive line coach, is now the offensive line coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, okay. There it is.
No. Flaherty and Flowers. One practice got into a huge screaming match and yelling match.
And now he's got him coming to Jacksonville.
Now, potentially, the first visit he had was the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I guess they worked it out, obviously. Yeah, that's fun. That is funny, though. I know you know all the Giants scuttlebutt because you do every weekend radio show with any former and current
NFL Giants. That's a good one. I didn't even know. I read that online. It was a great story.
Yeah,
it's funny. You never know.
No, you never know.
Maybe stick him inside. He's a stiff, though. Flowers can't play.
Yeah,
no, he stinks.
I hear you. He's not very good, and he goes off size on a regular basis. He's a giant man. But anyway.
Like the Giants tonight.
Giants win the game. Barkley runs amok. I think he has a good game in the rain. You're not throwing the ball much in the rain. Watch. Fast forward. The guys, you know, we'll see Wentz throwing the ball, you know, 7,000 yards. We'll talk about this tomorrow. There'll be a memory lane. Remember we used to do memory lane?
We don't did. Do that anymore. Tomorrow we will get into it. We'll talk about your birthday. And if you see, as we wrap up the three, as you see Taz today, wherever he might be, out on Long Island, New York City, tri-state area. If you're if you live in that area of the woods, in our listening audience, or if you're on social media, hit him up at Official Taz.
Why are you doing this?
Or at Taz and the Moose. But make sure you tag Taz.
I'm getting tweets like crazy, bro.
Wish him a happy birthday.
Stop on me.
I'll tweet happy birthday from the show account as well.
He loves birthdays.
Oh God. And then you got people approach me in the street. You know how rough that is?
To wish you a happy birthday. Come on, boys.
Shut up.
Happy birthday to you.
I love bearded men.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, you guys are horrible.
Happy birthday to you.
Now, this is for my son Jackson and Paul, my kids. Are you one?
Are you two?
Are you three?
You got to go high for me. Because I was born
happy birthday,
in 1977.
Brother.
Thank
honestly,
you.
Honestly, many, many more.
I hope so. We'll see what happens.
Enjoy your day. You deserve it.
Thank you. We're done. We're going home. No, we got another segment. We have the undercard.
We're coming back. Yes.
Ah, yes.
The undercard.
A little bougie
coming
music.
Your way next.
This will play at the club tonight at my birthday.
We have
a private club at the birthday.
Taz walking
in.
Invited.
Sushi.
He's got the black tie on. Working the room.
And I'm doing a little dancing. I got a little cigar going.
He's working the room like he's Dean Martin.
Yeah. I got Stan Van Gundy playing the banjo.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy with a tie. He's sitting there playing the piano.
That would be great.
He's playing the alto sax. Mikey B. Dribbling a basketball in the front. Wants to get in.
Watching the Nets preseason game.
Rough second half.
It's Taz. It's Moose. The undercard comes your way next. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Help people affected by Hurricane Michael. If you've seen the pictures and the videos from the panhandle down in Florida, Category 4 quick-moving storm that hit all of our friends down there in down in the bayou, down in the panhandle of Florida, I should say. Thoughts and prayers with them as they try and recover. Just devastating videos, devastating video. And we want to try and help them out. Make sure to text Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, to 90999. You can donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. Certainly all of our friends down there in the panhandle certainly do need it, Tess.
Absolutely. Horrific, you know. Everybody's in our minds, our hearts, our prayers, so hopefully everybody's going to be okay down there.
Yeah, make sure to text Michael to 90999. Michael to 90999. You do that, you donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. All right, with that being said, let's get to the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Take it away, Mikey.
Typically on one's birthday, you'll have cake, and a lot of times on top of that cake, you'll put ice cream. Rob Gronkowski says he's hooked on the Tom Brady avocado ice cream.
He's
willing
hooked
to try
any...
it tonight for
no,
your birthday?
No, I'm not, Mike. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
I hate avocado, but it's funny you mentioned that. My wife, she does do the avocado toast. We have people over.
I love avocado toast.
We have the servants help with the hors d'oeuvres and hors d'oeuvres, and they make them for everybody.
I wouldn't say servants.
I love them. All right, well, people that help out around the house. I don't know. I'm sorry that people that work for the, you know, for the cause. But anyways, I digress.
I just want to be flat in their faces.
It happens, even on your birthday. It's okay.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
That's like... Oh, my goodness gracious.
We have the... We have our servants spread out.
I don't know. Is that...
We buy the individual cups at our house. I do it myself.
I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't want to say the word, you know, waiters or maid service. I don't know what the right term. I apologize if I offended anyone.
Bilotti spit out his tea.
Oy vey. Anyways, avocado toast is not my thing. Yeah.
Well, avocado toast is good. Avocado ice cream.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. But listen, the Gronkowski, anything that Brady does.
Oh, anything he does. Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
I love Tommy's the best. I love Tommy. Oh, stop. Piece of meal ticket, we get it. Go away, both of you. Both old men like me. Go away. Next.
Time for Case Keenum to be benched in Denver.
No! Yes, that's Keenum's sacrilegious. Why would you say that about my man Keenum? I love Keenum.
Come on. Do you watch him play this year?
I know. He's having a rough time.
He's rough.
What the hell happened?
Rough. People in Denver are like, does John Elway know football anymore?
But dude, look, how
he had a great year last year.
I know what happened. What is going on, man?
But
I don't understand.
Minnesota, as a franchise, Taz, realized that was a one-year wonder, and they said, we need to get better at the quarterback spot. And they made the right call. Now,
I think he misses Pat Shurmur.
They gave Cousins a lot of money, and they paid him a ton of money. Yeah, but ultimately, they made the right call. Cousins is a better quarterback than Keenum.
I know. Misses Pat Shurmur. Man, what a shame. Next!
I think we're done.
Right. No next.
All right, that's it.
Pete, great job. Mike, great job. Andrew, everyone on social media, giving us a holler at 855-212-4227. Maurice Claret for joining us earlier on the program. Taz, happy birthday. Enjoy avocado toast.
Thanks, everybody, for the birthday wishes on the show here. And the fans, I appreciate it.
Peace!
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Hey, You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.